Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a very exciting guest on. She's a big star, and we're going to talk about her stardom and her new book. Her name is Dee Wallace. So, Dee, welcome to the show.
That's great to be here. Thanks.
Now, Dee, let's talk a little bit about who Dee is, because you started off a long, long time ago on this journey, and the book you wrote called Bright Lights kind of talks about it. But let's talk about you first, because you really did not have one of the best childhoods that there were as far as money and a lot of other things. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a very, well, for want of a better word, unbalanced childhood. Always felt loved, always was very loved by my parents and my grandparents, but we were very poor. My dad was a severe alcoholic, couldn't hold down a job, tried committing suicide several times and finally succeeded my senior year. And so, yeah, it was rough. I grew up mostly in dresses that my grandma made for me. Even my homecoming formal, when I was homecoming queen, she made my dress by hand. So it was kind of a dichotomy, you know, all the time of that yin and yang stuff.
But in your book Bright Lights, it talks about, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it, and it talks about how your dad, even though he was a severe alcoholic, always, always gave you all kinds of good thoughts and good words. I mean, he told you basically that there wasn't anything you couldn't do.
Yes, that's true. Pretty much everybody in my family said, go do your dream, but also the other message was, don't get too big, don't go too far. You know, one of my mother's favorite lines is, sure, honey, be an actor. Just be an actor in Kansas. And there's a lot of work for an actor in Kansas, as we know. So, it was always these double, triple, quadruple messages going on everywhere. But I always felt loved and honored by both my parents. And I think that's, you know, that's what carried me through everything. And I know there are people out there that go, isn't she lucky? And yes, I am. And I want to say to them, but don't let that be an out for you. If you didn't feel loved and honored by your parents, love and honor yourself now so that you can create what you want.
Yeah, one of your main things that I found really interesting, and it's a statement that you actually have on your website. It says, I am the creation of me. I create me first, and my universe is created. I am the creation of my I am present. A lot of people now, Dee, are starting to wake up to the I am present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy for a lot of people because, you know, they've been told all sorts of things on their growth pattern. And it takes a lot for people to start to do themselves first and then create everything else for everybody else. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you're doing that, it had to be kind of hard, but it makes total sense to me. Because if you can't be happy with you first, I don't know if it's really going to make you happy.
Well, exactly, because you're the instrument that you see your perspective through. So if your perspective is skewed within you, as you, then it's going to be skewed in everything you look at. And I just had a brilliant experience of that, I might say. I just did a guest star on The Office. And I thought it was all improvised. It's really all scripted. But you can improvise around how you want to do it and throw in some things. And, you know, I think I'm pretty astute at comedy. And so I was bringing in all these ideas, and it was just a continual, do less, Dee. No, try another choice, Dee. No, don't do that, Dee. You know, and about three-fourths of the way through, I went, you know, they don't like me. I'm not good. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm here with all these really talented comedians, and, you know, I just started all that self-talk that we did. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I caught myself right, going down into this toilet bowl. And I said, oh, stop it. This is an illusion. The whole thing is an illusion anyway. You're just creating being here on this set, having this experience, and all these thoughts are a big flippin' illusion too. So take your power back, Dee, from all of this self-worth doubt that you're going through. Take your power back. Because if you are thinking these thoughts about yourself, that's the perspective you are receiving the direction from. So I balance my energy, and the way I balance energy, because I believe if your energy is in balance, then you're in choice. If it's out of balance, you're in reaction, which is where I was. So I just did my little balancing. I'm the light energy of balance, clarity, and clearing around all of this. And I just vigilantly stayed on top of me, watching my thoughts, bringing them back, keeping myself in balance. And about halfway through the next day, I started seeing that they were directing everybody that way. And they were asking a lot of the stars on the show, and every, please, you know, bring it down, make it more subtle, make it more real. No, try another choice. But while I was stuck in that self-worth illusion of my own, I couldn't see that it was going on with anybody else. I could only take it personally and allow it to keep energizing these false thoughts and beliefs that I was having. So that's kind of an example, and people go, gosh, you mean I have to stay on top of myself all the time? Yeah, you do. But the freedom that you get from it, and the world, the way the world starts responding to you afterwards, is nothing short of amazing. And then 2 days into the show, it was like, oh, God, Dee, we love what you're doing. Oh, that was a great choice. You see, the whole thing turned around in 2 days because I turned me around.
Yeah, it's really funny. When I'm doing my consultations with people, one of the things I tell them is, please, get out of your own way. You know?
Yeah.
And then I tell them, you know, if you have to think so much, cut off your head and use your heart. It makes a big difference if you come from your heart than if it comes from the head.
You're not. You know, you're really not going to get there from your head. You're not going to get the higher information and the unlimited thought from your head. Your consciousness, our consciousness is our intelligence, but we've been taught the opposite.
Yeah, and that's a shame because, you know, if people would really start following from their heart, life, I think, would be a lot easier, and I don't think we would have forgotten how to love like we've kind of appeared like we've forgotten how to love.
Well, yeah, I think we're trying to protect ourselves from the love because we've all, our belief is that we've been inadvertently hurt by opening up our hearts and allowing ourselves to love. But I truly know from my work that the thought always comes first, the belief, the perception always comes first. So if you've gotten hurt by being authentic, if you've gotten hurt by being an open heart in love, then there was a belief somewhere in you that ultimately you would get hurt if you did that.
Yeah, and it's been shown like that all the time. Like, one of the things I'm doing, Dee, is I actually am planning on building a school and opening it. It's called the School of Now, and it's designed to help children who have basically been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, and the intuitive children.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very big undertaking because I think it's very important that the children that are here now and the children yet to come understand about this light that they have inside them. You know, part of your stuff is you've mentioned several times in your book, you came here born as a light.
Yeah.
And I think people have a tendency to forget that, or they're not told that, and with that, you know, they go through a lot of different problems. So it's real important, I think, for children especially to start taking in that they are a light and a very good light. And so, you know, I'm sure that's part of what you teach in some of your classes, even, you know, like with the healing process.
Absolutely. That loving yourself is the cornerstone to everything. And that, you know, again, we shine our light like the ADD and ADHD, they're full of joy, they're full of energy, they're full of creation, right? And society doesn't know how to handle that in the joy and exuberance that's within these children, so we have to hold them down. And when you hold them down, then that's when the problem starts. If we would let them fly, they would be okay, but we don't know how to do that within the rules and regulations that we've formulated in our society. So we're the ones that need to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's true.
A brilliant idea. I wish you great luck with that.
No, I've already had the land, so now I'm just raising the money. But that's one of the things that is my primary goal is to have this school up and running so these children actually know that they're a light and that they're loved and they know how to love back. So it's very, very important. Now, the movie that really everybody's going to remember, I mean, there's lots of movies that you have been in, but E.T. is a big movie that you did. When you did that movie, did you go through any spiritual awakening at that time, or were you already there and you just took this on because it sounded like a fun project to do?
Oh, no. I mean, I think we're all on our spiritual journey from the moment we come in. That's why we do come in, is to experience ourselves spiritually in a body and everything that brings with it. I had studied a philosophy called conceptology. I was raised in a pretty spiritual Methodist household. Wouldn't say spiritual, more religious, and I think there's a huge difference. So, actually, E.T. was the catalyst that created me moving into more spirituality, but not because of the movie, interestingly enough. And I talk a lot about this in Bright Light, too, my experiences on all my movies with all my big directors and stars, but especially E.T., because, you see, from the time that I left Kansas, and I had never been out of Kansas in my life, so between the time I left Kansas and starting E.T. was a little under 5 years, which is meteoric in my business. And so when E.T. came out and it was this huge hit, Dee was a movie star. The hype and everything around me and the cast and the film was unbelievable. And a lot of those messages, those dichotomies of my childhood, raise their ugly head. Don't go too far. Don't go too fast. Don't ever say you're good. Don't ever announce to the world how great you are. Good little girls don't do that. And certainly God doesn't like you if you do that. And so when E.T. came out, I pulled myself all the way back in. And I shut down and I stopped creating me. Now, what that looks like in our life when we do it, it looks like everybody else outside of ourselves is creating it. And so then we go into our stories and we become victims and we shut down even more and shut our heart light off. I mean, the movie is such a perfect analogy, really, to what I created in my life and what I had to do to get me back, which is turn my heart light on and go back to the home of me, which is the God of me, the creation of me, taking responsibility for me being the creation of myself and my own life. And, you know, it's my story, but you can read on Amazon. Most of the people that have reviewed it on there go, oh, my God, this is my story. I remember when I lost my light. I remember who I gave up my light to, and I'm going to get it back now. And that's why I wrote the book, because we've all got our stories, right, Nancy? We've all been raped, abused,
yep.
You know, left, abandoned, humiliated, you name it. We've got a story about it. And bottom line, they can't save us anymore. Whomever did that to us is not going to save us. We are the only ones, you know, that can set ourselves free.
Dee, why do you think women in particular have such a hard time believing that they can really be all they are, and they're so afraid to show, you know, that feminine energy that they have and how strong they can be and how successful they can be? They constantly let people take that away. Why do you think the women keep letting that happen?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's just the women. I think the men have been taught force, which is not power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the male species is taught that the most powerful force is love. So they've been as misguided as we have. But, you know, it's been eons and eons and eons, and the church certainly didn't help in the olden days. Politics and everything belonged to the men. And the women were there to serve, and society set it up that way. And in the beginning, you know, women gave up their power. If we didn't give it up, then it wouldn't have been taken from us. So, first of all, I think we've got a lot of genetic stuff, you know, that we have to become aware of and balance. And secondly, the feminine power knows how bloody powerful it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I go back to Marianne Williamson. We're afraid of our power because we're told we can't be and never should be, and we'll go to hell if we are powerful as the creative force, call it God, Atman, Buddha, whatever you want to call it. So I joke about it, but if we come forward on our power and we create miracles, we have been taught that the only person that does that is God, so we must be the other guy, right? We must mm-hmm. be the bad guy. We must yeah. be the evil force if we have that much power. So again, you know, we were taught by so many people who didn't know, because they were taught by people who didn't know. So we've just been passing down the sin of not knowing, of thinking small, limited thoughts and living in fear from just about the beginning of time. And we're asking ourselves now to take back the power of unlimited thought that we are. If we think of God as unlimited thought and the creative force that creates through conscious direction, it puts it a lot more in a playing field, I believe, that we can grasp and understand.
Yeah, and I do think that everybody is waking up, and I think it's real important that they continue to wake up. In your book, Bright Light, first of all, Dee, give out your website so people can find you, please.
You can find me at imdwallace.com. And there's some awesome stuff on there, guys. There's my acting and my healing. There's a lot of free downloads and teachings and things like that. Webinars that I've done on the I Am series, they're quite amazing. That's all channeled information. And I'm doing another one on Wednesday called I Am the Miracle. But imdwallace.com, and you can find the book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, in Barnes & Noble and in a lot of the smaller bookstores.
Now, but this is not your first book.
It isn't. It's my third book.
Okay, so The Conscious Creation. What prompted you to write that book?
Well, Conscious Creation was years and years and years of channeled information. I had written that book so many times, and I would just start to get finished with it, and the energy would expand, and the understanding would change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, John Edwards said to me, Dee, you just have to publish it as it is. Every author will tell you that they go back to their first books and they go, oh my God, I said that? You know, because their understanding through their work shifts and expands so much. But I have to tell you, I don't agree about that with conscious creation. Everything that's in there was channeled to me in a pretty succinct way. So all my three books are very different. That's all channeled information about the creation process. The Big E is just a fun romp. I call it my toilet book. Through all the sayings that we've been brought up with, like, you know, pretty is as pretty does. Every time my mother would say that, I'd go, what? And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, things like that. And they're all a page and a half, and we go through what they really mean as opposed to what our parents thought they meant in the New Age lingo. And then Bright Light, of course, is my very, very personal journey. If you just want to read about all my movies and all the stories and everything, it stands on its own there. But throughout it is a very definite story of finding myself, losing myself, finding myself again, that everyone is going to relate to and heal with.
Your book, Bright Light, it uses, when I was reading it, Dee, it uses a lot of the parts that you played, you related to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about the frightener. So let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, that part of your book was, you know, it was different and it was very, very good, because I think people play roles and they don't realize they're playing roles.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little bit about why you related your life in the Frightener movie.
Well, in the Frighteners, first of all, I must say I had a ball killing everybody because I always play the victim, you know. So, but it was an interesting, again, dichotomy of what was going on in my life. I was so happily married, had a beautiful daughter, and in the middle of the Frighteners, I lost my husband of 18 years. And, well, first of all, he had a heart attack, came back. We did the surgery. He was fine. I went back to shoot. 4 days later, he died of a blood clot. So, again, the Frighteners kind of represented this place between two worlds that I was kind of stuck in, that I had all this happiness and all this sadness in my life at the same moment. And the character that I portray in there goes from, of course, being the victim, or who you think is the victim, mm-hmm. to this very powerful murderess that she was and turns back into. And that's kind of how I was feeling inside, is very much the victim and at the same time very powerful. And I have to tell you, it's interesting you use this analogy, because the same thing is going on in my life right now. I was in Antigua, first time I'd taken a vacation in a while, and my best friend passed away while I was there. Mm. And it was devastating to me. I mean, we've been close friends for 40 years. And I was sitting on the beach, and I thought, I'm looking out at all this beauty and this pristineness and this nature and God. And then I go within me, and I'm experiencing all this anguish and this pain around this loss. And I think that's kind of the two worlds. We're looking for our goal, if you will, as a soul, is to be able to go in and out of those worlds and stay in balance and know that one isn't worse or bad, and one isn't great or good or better, that it is energy experiencing itself in different ways. Do we like to experience the ocean and the beauty and the nature more than the angst and the anguish? Yes, and that does not make it better or worse. And I think if there's anything that will create us being and embracing this new earth that we're already really in, is losing the need to judge everything and label everything as good or bad, right or wrong, better or worse. Because, you know, when judgment comes in, again, you're not in balance. And that's what starts the wars, and that's what starts you feeling not good enough on the set. And if we can live in the moment of acceptance, every moment of acceptance as it is, then we can stay balanced enough to create what we want in that moment. But we, you know, go to the past and go to the future and go to the past and go to the future, and the creation is right now.
Mm-hmm. It is right now. And I think people are starting to understand that. It's been a slow awakening, but I think they're starting to get there, which is a good
thing. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. I think we're, a lot of us are frightened about being there.
I think most of them are frightened, actually, of being there because they're so used to not being used to something, or they're so used to not things not happening the way they would like them to happen in their dreams or in their hopes and their desires. But it's almost like they stand in their way so that they stop it from happening, so that they don't have to end up, you know, worrying about it. And
well,
your book,
you know, if you don't have a belief that it can happen, it can't happen.
Right. You know, and that's what, again, I think people are starting to be aware of. And it's being told day after day after day that your thoughts, your words, whatever you're putting out now to the universe is exactly what you're going to get back. And so be very careful of how you put it out, exactly what you say. You know, and if you don't want it to come back that way, then you have to be pretty picky with the energy that you're putting out to the universe at this point. And I think people are starting to realize that now.
Yes. And the feeling, even more than the words, is the feeling, you know, the experiential feeling. When we live in joy, every cell in our body responds to that joy. When we live in anger and fear, every cell in our body responds to that. Some interesting information came in the other day when we were doing some work, and not only my friend's death, but several of my really close friends were in the hospital with emergency surgery or some kind of illness. This doesn't happen in my life and in my world much. So when that happens, I know I'm supposed to sit down and do some work around it. And I said, look, I just want to know what's going on around all the death and the illness, because whether people are leaving through earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, or cancer, or whatever it is, suicide, whatever it is, they're leaving, and this was what came through, because we have lost hope.
Right.
And when we lose hope, our immune systems break down, whether they're mental, physical, emotional, chemical, cosmic, or dimensional, your energetic systems break down. And then illness, despair, hopelessness, you know, that opens your energy field up. So the best thing you can do for your health is be hopeful and be joyful, and know the world is exactly, you know, working itself out the way it's supposed to.
And that's true. And people are going to have a hard time with that for a little while until they start to really work with it, because that energy is overwhelming to most people. and it's...
But, you know, it's really just a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple that it's difficult for our minds... Well, again, you can't get there from your mind. It's difficult for us to grasp that it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like everybody to just open themselves up to the idea that it's easy. That it's easy for us to shift in knowing that in any moment we can choose joy, we can choose happiness, we can just choose. And it's as easy as that. And what they keep telling me through the channel is, Dee, it's not a science fiction movie. Everybody thinks it's a science fiction movie, but it's reality. Whatever you choose to focus on, you will create, period.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of you. That's how much power you have as a creator. And it's really that simple, but we want to hold on to all of our stories.
Right. And it really is time for change, so people know that they can manifest what they really want from their heart, or they can manifest from different places too, which they shouldn't, but some people do. Now, Dee, in your book, Bright Lights, you break it down to 12 chapters. And in the appendix of your book, you talk about, you know, the 12 chapters, you know, and you start off by, the first chapter is called The Journey Starts with Intention. So in your appendix, you talk about intention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into being, and then high energy, judgment, instinct, heart, sending out, reception. See, people have a hard time, I think, with that sending out and reception. And then you have 0 point. And then, of course, you have surrender, because we know that we have to surrender. And then you have the knowing. And then you have the I am. Out of all of those chapters, Dee, which one of those chapters, if you have one, actually makes you who you are?
Oh, it would be chapter 12, for sure. The I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, explain again why you would choose that chapter.
Well, because, again, when you know that you are the consciousness that creates you, and you are the consciousness that creates then everything in your life, and you are the consciousness that, by creating you and your life, creates the world, there's nothing else to know. That my I am presence, the consciousness that I am, through conscious direction and clarity, can create anything. Now, do I experience creating anything yet? No. Do I experience creating an awfully lot? You bet. This year has been a gold mine of creating ideas that were divinely given to me. And all ideas, by the way, are divinely given unless they feel negative. But, oh my God, go do it. Oh, wouldn't this be great? Oh, wow, we could do this. Hey, why don't we get together? Those are all divine ideas, you know? And again, when you don't give yourself any outs, they won't let me do it, I don't have the education, blah, 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 right? Whatever it is. And you just go, I'm the consciousness that has to come forward to follow this idea, then you just dive in because you know. And that's the experience of what I've had this year, is enormous creation. Coming back, a lot of acting, certainly a huge increase financially everywhere in my life, but mostly being happy, just being happy and joyful all the time. Well, pretty much all the time. And that's the biggest gift. You see, I think we inadvertently and incorrectly do enter this creating your own life place to get stuff. And it's not about getting stuff. It's about creating you as the joyful, powerful, peaceful, balanced person. That's what it's about. And interestingly enough, when you create yourself that way, the stuff oftentimes shows up.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes what I do with clients is I will actually ask them to draw a picture of themselves and color it.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to see how they feel about themselves. And a lot of times you can just tell by looking at a picture, if it's about themselves, how they feel, where they're coming from. You know, they could be having bright eyes, for example, or they could have their eyes just kind of just a dot, and their mouth could be like a little slot, or it could be kind of curved either up or down. So it's real interesting to find out when you ask somebody to draw a picture about themselves, what they're perceiving themselves to be. And when I explain to them what I get from their picture, and I ask them if that's pretty much their personality, it usually is pretty right on. And then I ask them, you know, if you're always down or depressed, what do you think it's going to take for you to make that difference? Or what do you think it's going to take for you to change that? And they usually have a really good answer, but it's the follow-up, the follow-through that they have a lack with. So is there anything, because, I mean, you've done a lot, Dee. You've come from a lot, and you're still doing a lot. Is there anything that you can tell the listeners on how to be really happy with themselves and who they are?
Yes. You know, you don't do it for the money. You don't do it to be safe. You don't not do it to be safe. You look within yourself and you go, what makes me happy? What do I want to create today? Because when the creative juices stop, that's when you go into the past or into the future and the fear comes and the doubt comes, right? And the lack of action comes. So I just get up every morning and go, what do I want to create? I just want to create. Whether it's a book, whether it's an audition. I mean, for example, tomorrow I have an audition for a big film. I have an on-camera interview, a big on-camera interview around my healing stuff. I come home, I do 3 privates from all over the world, and then I do my radio show tomorrow. It's all creation. It's all doing different kinds of creation. And, you know, I want to quickly say that if you get up tomorrow and you go, what do I want to create? I want to bake cookies for the neighborhood. That's as big an important, joyful creation as me doing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what feeds your creative love of yourself. So, you know, if we just get up in the morning and go, what do I want to create and what's the first step that I can do in that creation? I'm not thinking about the money because that's in the future. I'm not thinking about how I failed 2 years ago doing something similar. That's in the past. I'm in this moment of now, and this is what I want to create, and my intention is to do this in joy and love for everybody, and what's my first step? There's really nothing else you have to ask yourself. But most of us stop ourselves before we ever begin. And then we become despondent and we become unhappy and we start judging ourselves because we never started the creation process that was going to give us the joy.
Mm-hmm. Which, and I think, you know, people need to know that because they keep being in that self-contained maybe shell, I don't know how to explain it, where they won't allow themselves to be creative, they won't allow themselves to even believe that they should have anything. You know, they keep themselves pretty shut down, like, well, I don't deserve this, I shouldn't have this. And it's time for them to explode that and really get themselves out there.
But you see, they have to love themselves to do that.
People
ask me, what's the most important thing that you've ever produced? And it's the I Love Me Play Shop. It's a 2-day, I think it's 6 or 7 hours, of DVD all about loving yourself and the experience of what it feels like to love yourself. Because that's the cornerstone of everything. So if there's listeners out there going, I don't even know how to get started on this stuff, that's it. You get up every morning and go, okay, my intention is to love myself today. What's one thing I can do to really let me experience loving myself and how special I am? Because if you don't love yourself, the universe can't respond to that.
No, they can't. And it is. That's a big stepping stone for a lot of people because of their upbringing, as you said before, of religions. You know, a lot of different explanations that we were being given as children, you know, to keep us wherever we are, you know, and not let us be creative. And it's time that everybody wake up, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult. It's very important to wake up. Now, you also have an acting school. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's a little different.
Well, they certainly learn to act there, but I bring in all of my healing work also. Because, you know, again, your career is just a metaphor for and a mirror of who you are. So any kind of limiting belief you have about yourself will be shown to you through the career that you choose, or the relationship that you choose, or the body that you live in. Your limitations about you will be mirrored back to you in a myriad of ways through the universe and through people, you see. Like me, if I have on the set a belief that, oh, my God, everybody else is funnier and everybody else is bigger and blah, 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 yada, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's going to get mirrored back to me as, you know, can you make another choice? Don't do so much, do you? All you have to do to see where your limiting beliefs are is look at your life and what people are saying and what you're being able to create, because your life will tell you exactly what your thoughts are about yourself. And you shift that, and everything shifts around you. I promise. I live it. I teach it. So we do that. Right now I'm trying to figure out if I'm actually going to go back to teach, because our intention that we set a year ago was to eliminate anything that was in our way of our being our highest, unlimited, powerful selves. So I've got so many actors working that I hardly have a class right now, which is quite awesome. So, but it's true. And actually, I was on a set the other day, and one of my students walked in to do a co-star. And I thought, wow, how awesome is that, that I get to work with my students now? I mean, I think that rocks, don't you?
That's great.
Oh, God, it was just awesome.
One of the things in the School of Now, which is going to be my school, is acting, you know, and using the creativity,
uh-huh.
Whether it's art, singing, musical instrument, acting, whatever the case may be, that's going to be a very big part of the school because of that creativity that I think children in normal schools are not really being able to express. And so, you know, that excites me when you say you're, you know, one of your co-stars, one of your own students. That's pretty cool. Now, you also have your own radio show.
I have two, yeah.
Okay, so why don't you tell the listeners where your radio show is and how they can get to listen to it?
Well, the easiest way for everybody is, again, to go to my website, imdwallace.com, because there's direct links there and all the phone numbers to call in and everything. But I have one at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in the afternoon on Mondays. And that's on the Awakening Zone network. And Thursday mornings is on Voice America, and that's 8 o'clock in the morning. Pacific Standard Time, and they're both free call-in shows. So anybody can call in, ask a question, you know, like, I know I want to lose weight, Dee, but it's not coming off. And I know I want money, but it's not showing up. And why? Why, when I consciously want something, you know, or why am I in despair? Or whatever it is that you want clarification and discernment around, that's what we do. And I know that you know, Nancy, that shows like that are so powerful because I'm telling you every time, by the end of the show, I may have had 10 or 14 callers come on, mm-hmm. but they have all come together from all over the world and created a theme for that show. It's uncanny for me to watch sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, that's
well, the collective consciousness comes together and, you know, it's pretty much in alignment with each other, what we are ready to break through and work through and get clarity around. So it's just fascinating. It just rocks my boat.
That's good. Now, are you going to be starring in any more films soon?
I have 3 or 4 films coming out, and again, that's all on my website, too. And just did this big guest star in The Office, which will air, well, I don't know, 3 to 6 weeks down the line. I'm going to Italy to do a beautiful film in October and November. So lots going on. I'm also going to be in Santa Fe the second weekend in September with Jeffrey Hoppe's Crimson Circle Weekend. I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers there. And that's very exciting for me. And then I'm doing science fiction conventions around the country. You know, I just take off one hat and put on another one, and I love it. I love it all.
That's great. Now, you're also going to be in El Paso in October.
That's the sci-fi, right?
Yeah, they have you for October 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of cool, too. You're closer to me. I'm in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
In Santa Fe. So maybe I'll come see you when you're in Santa Fe.
Oh, it's an amazing weekend. Anybody that's around Santa Fe, yeah, it's just an amazing weekend. You know, Jeffrey Hoppe is one of the major channelers of Tobias and St. Germain and all of them. So,
mm-hmm.
And he's created the Awakening Zone Network. One of my shows is on. So if you're down around that area, come. Yeah, we could hang out, Nancy. We could.
Yeah, no, I'll come because I mean, you're Santa Fe from where I am. I'm in Los Lunas. It's only a couple hours, so.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
You know, so
drive up.
I'll drive up there, and I will see you, and at least we'll meet in person and have some hangout time.
That'd be great.
Out of all the things that you've done, Dee, what has been one of your most fulfilling, yeah, out of all of them, and I'm talking about movies, everything, what has been your most fulfilling venue?
Creating my daughter.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, because that was kind of a problem too, wasn't it?
A challenge, absolutely. I had 6 specialists that told me I would never have a baby. But I didn't allow them to define who I was. And
good.
I said, nope, I'm not thinking so. And 6 years later, I had this beautiful little girl who is now 22 and starting her own acting career and just a pal and a buddy and a soulmate of mine. So, but if you asked me what my greatest achievement in this lifetime was, it would be to create her.
And how old is she now?
22.
Now, does she have some of the same qualities as far as channeling as you do?
She does. She does the work with me. She doesn't do it 24/7 like I do, but yeah. And she's also quite a beautiful actress, just finished her 2nd little film. And so she's, you know, the apple doesn't fall very far. People look at us and go, oh, my God, you're like, they're like twins, you know, I thought, yeah, plus 40 years, twins. But sound alike, look alike, have a lot of the same qualities. We're exceptionally close in every way.
Now, is that the picture of you and your daughter on your website?
I don't know which one you're referring to.
Yes. I chose your daughter.
That's actually at one of her premieres.
Cool.
Yeah.
You guys do look alike.
She's a beautiful girl and quite talented. Well, she studies with me after all.
That's right. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yes, indeed.
Again, before, we only have like about 5 minutes left, Dee, so could you give out your website again and any information that you want people to know about?
My website is imdwallace.com. Again, I invite you to peruse your way through it because there's all kinds of, oh my God, listen, there's a past life regression that Dolores Cannon did of me on there that everybody should listen to. The message from this regression is so amazing, you guys. It's life-changing. It really is. You want to open your heart, go listen to that. And that's free. It's available, I believe, on the home page at the bottom. All my appearances are listed somewhere on there. You know, and we've got a store, and right now people are signing up for the I Am the Miracle webcast.
Mm-hmm.
I really invite you to read Bright Light. I know from talking to thousands of people that have read it and sent me emails that they, and you acknowledge this too, Nancy, that there was an energy shift that happened when they read the book. About, you know, reclaiming who they were and getting their power back. And it's just so vitally important. And it's fun. You know, you have fun reading the book, too. You laugh, you cry, you chuckle. There's a lot of fun stories in there, too. But it's just so, so important for us all to be the authentic, powerful people that we are.
Yeah, that first word, authentic,
yeah,
is real important.
Real important. Because false power, that's not what any of us are talking about. Well, I'm hoping that, you know,
no,
we all know that.
No. You talk about Dolores Cannon. This last April, I had this huge conference. It was called the Wake Up Now Conference.
Oh, like it.
Yeah, like for people to really wake up. I had 16 guest speakers come in from all over the place, and Dolores Cannon was one of them. She was very good.
Oh, she's... She's amazing. I was on tour. She found my work and said, come on, I'm taking you. I want to introduce you to my followers. So I was on tour with her for over a month. And it was a kick. I mean, that woman has more energy than most of us. She's now in Stockholm. She's doing a whole tour through Europe and everything. Unbelievable lady. And you know, one of the top past life regressionists and hypnotherapists in the world. So it was a real kick. And it was interesting for us to sit down after all the days and teachings and everything and really banter back and forth, because sometimes my channel, the information coming through my channel, was questioning what was coming through her channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it was just different semantics. Sometimes there was an understanding that we needed to have that combined both, you know,
mm-hmm,
our work. It was just fascinating and enlarging for me, you know, expansion for me to hang with her. So
that'd be great. I'm going to have another one, Wake Up Now Conference 2. Would you like to be a guest speaker there? It'll be again in April.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds wonderful. And I'd love to talk to you more about your school, too.
Yeah, when I come up to see you in Santa Fe, I'll bring you the pictures of the layout of the school and how a book and everything else would be pretty interesting.
Great.
But, you know, let's plan on that. And then, since you're going to be in Santa Fe next month, I will come up there, and by then I'll have more information about the Wake Up 2 conference. And so, you know, I'd like you to have to be a speaker there. I think it would be very, very enlightening for a lot of people.
Thank you. I would be honored. Thank you so much.
And unfortunately, our time.
I know. We never have enough time, do we? Dang.
So one more time, give out that website so people
can I am dwallace.com.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, Dee. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed your book, and I actually suggest that everybody pick up one of the book, you know, your book and read it. It's very, very enlightening.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a great hour with you.
Great. You take care, and I will talk with you up when you're in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope you enjoyed the show, and take note of what's been said, and get her book, Bright Lights, by Dee Wallace. Anyway, take care, and we'll talk next time. Bye now.